The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Get ready to air the grievances. It's not quite the weekend yet, Dom, but here we are. We're close. We're on the cusp. How you doing, fella?
Awesome, Crudy. Happy Friday to you. Rich, working hard on the board. Thank you, sir, and welcome, everyone. We actually made it.
Dom, we've got some breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. Feel like I got to re-rack with you here and tell you, Mike Gallagher, rep from Wisconsin's 8th District, is resigning effective April 19th. I mean, if you're going to get out that month, make it 420, fella.
But right. Make a point out of it. But he was already resigning, right? So he officially gave the date. I mean, how this
not going to run for re-election. He was vacate at the end of his term, but that would have meant he would have served until effectively like January 5th. This means he's getting out like 7 months earlier and leaving his constituents high and dry.
See, this is what I'm saying, man. And I get it. If you don't want to, you don't want the job anymore because you work with a bunch of nut jobs. Okay. But you kind of signed up for it, you know? All right, I'm going to leave at the end of my term. Well, we can understand that. Oh, I'm going to leave now. Well, in a month. So my delay instead of leaving now will mean this seat will remain vacant until November. And in the meantime, if there's any action in Congress, the fine people from that neck of the woods up in Green Bay, you don't get a vote, man, because your guy's bailing on you. And I think that is some BS.
Dominic Carr, WGBW listeners, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. You know what they learned today? If you're listening to me in Green Bay, here's what you learned today. Mike Gallagher's just not that into you. But you know, he's leaving the staff behind. Think about the Titanic. The captain goes down with his ship. He doesn't leave the staff on board and get in the rowboat and start heading ashore, does he?
Well,
this one does.
Is a fine thing, but the guy actually takes votes in Congress, right? I mean, they're like literally voted today in the House to fund the government until what, September? I don't know. Few months more into the future. And presumably Gallagher cast a vote in that. I don't know which way he went. It passed with a majority of the Democratic help. We'll get to that perhaps later. But what Mike Gallagher is now doing to all you folks in Wisconsin is he's giving you the finger. Oh, it's been an honor to serve, but I'm tired of this right now. And presumably he's going to go get paid between now and then. So not only do you not have a representative in Congress, he delayed it so you won't until November or till next year. And he's probably going to, you know, pad the pockets, which I don't, you know, begrudge a man doing so. But of course, he's doing that by leaving you unrepresented in Congress.
High and dry, if you will.
Yeah,
my prediction, my gut is that Gallagher's got a high paying job. Start maybe May 1st. You know, take a little vacation with family and then
maybe get the to the new summer, job. You know? get the nice weather here in Wisconsin.
So Mike Gallagher apparently out, and Andre Jacques and Roger Roth are the Republicans that, you know, want this seat. And I got to think that Andre Jacques, if he is the nominee, and I think he will be, Roger Roth, sort of a backbencher. He ran for LT once upon a time. if you've noted, we don't call him former Lieutenant Governor Roth. So I suspect that Andre Jacques has had a better run as a, you know, assembly person and now state senator. He's moving up the ladder.
Maybe
a lot of strain on that ladder is all I'm saying.
Indeed.
I would say he is the worst possible candidate for the Republicans. So I strongly suspect that'll be the one they select.
They pick, right.
And I think it will be
a competent Republican in Gallagher leaving because the Republicans are just mega Republicans. They're just insane. And he can't handle it anymore. He's getting paid. I'm sure there's all sorts of reasons and motivations. But that's what I'm going to read into it. When you got people like him and, you know, Ken Buck even. I mean, Ken Buck on the way out the door. Again, very similar thing, similarly timed. On the day before he retired, they removed him from the Freedom Caucus. You know?
That'll show him.
Come on, man. So it's just, you know, the lack of, I don't know, seriousness, perhaps, in Congress. When you got someone like Gallagher, who is competent, regardless of you think of his politics, he served his country. He's a competent congressman, and he's leaving.
Well, I perceived him as a rising star in the Republican Party, and I think he's being strategic on his way out the door. He's effectively, strategically leaving this seat open. There will be no special election predicated on the timing. If he had resigned and left 10 days earlier, there'd be a special election. The people in the 8th CD would have representation. But of course, he wants to help turn them out for Trump this fall. That must be the assumption I draw, because otherwise, why would you force this election to fall on the fall ballot? I mean, it would again, even with the special. It's a congressional seat. It's every 2 years. It's going to be on the ballot again in November. But why force this? Why not allow the special? Well, opined them. It's because he's loyal to the MAGA base.
Why else would he do this? Because I think it's exactly opposite. Number one, if he was loyal to the MAGA base, why would he leave?
Better paying job.
Well, okay, fair enough. But I if that would be the case, then why not have your MAGA replacement come in, perhaps, and cast those votes and represent the fine people of Green Bay?
Because in a special election, anything can happen.
Let me finish. Okay, sure, anything. But here's the other side. Ken Buck, he became the first GOP member to sign the House Democrats' discharge position for foreign aid.
Yeah, but he's out of the House today. So if it doesn't go through today, his signature is worthless. Fine effort of character on your way out the door, sir.
Isn't that how it seemingly works? But this doesn't benefit MAGA. This doesn't benefit Speaker Mike Johnson. You know what I'm saying? So why would you think this is in some way to the benefit of MAGA and to Trump? I mean, he's sticking a fork in them, man. He's number one, leaving them. And number two, not giving them the opportunity to have a replacement vote when they want to vote on things that might matter to the Speaker of the House.
Well, okay, I'll look at it from your point of view. And you do not create incumbency. Let's say, you know, a guy like current state senator Andre Jacques wins the special in a low turnout. But I would say, you know, well, here's what I would say, Dom. With the loss of both Buck and now Mike Gallagher from Green Bay, Wisconsin, the U.S. Congress has a one-vote majority for the Republicans. And in light of this minibus, this ongoing funding bill that passed with a lot of Democratic support, perhaps more Democratic support than Republican support, Dom, well, I turned on the TV this morning on the Foxy News, and I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, and she was making the announcement she was going to force a vote on ousting Speaker Mike Johnson. And as Politico writes about it in the headline, it's happening again. Another spending bill, another effort to knock off a Republican speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dom's girl, has filed a motion to oust Speaker Mike Johnson, setting up a high-stakes vote of confidence in his leadership as conservatives lament the Louisiana Republicans' passage of a $1.2 trillion government funding deal with mostly Democratic votes. Green might not ultimately succeed in terminating Johnson's speakership, but she was adamant about punishing him for the spending deal he struck with the Democrats. This is a betrayal of the American people. This is a betrayal of Republican voters. The clock has started. It's time for our conference to pick a new speaker. I wonder if she thinks she's that person, Dom. Now, Green's move immediately set corners of the Republican Party on edge. A presidential election and a fight for congressional control looms in November. And the last thing many in the GOP want is another internal firefight. Congress is now heading into a two-week recess, sure to be dominated by questions of whether Johnson can hold on to the gavel, particularly in a chamber where the GOP holds just a two-vote majority. Well, that's until Mike Gallagher leaves.
That's a one-vote majority now.
And now many House conservatives are angry about Johnson's recent tendency to lean on a huge swath of Democrats to pass spending bills, but most have indicated they won't go so far as Green. At the moment, no other Republicans have publicly committed to support ousting Johnson yet. What do you think, Dom?
Yeah. There are early signs, Curdy, that Democrats are open to lending Johnson a hand, though they did not do the same for former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. One Democratic lawmaker, speaking on the condition of anonymity, predicted some of the caucus would protect Johnson, and if we get some Ukraine aid package, that might be part of a deal. That will represent a tough choice for the speaker, since putting up a vote on Ukraine aid could easily lead to more internal problems for the GOP, while also winning more Democratic allies who Johnson could need to protect him. Still, Johnson is publicly indicating he is not sweating the threats to his leadership. A spokesperson for Johnson, Raj Shah, said this: Speaker Johnson always listens to the concerns of members, but is focused on governing. He will continue to push conservative legislation that secures our borders, strengthens our national defense, and demonstrates how we'll grow our majority. Growing the majority of it's shrank by one today.
Dom, it's happening again. The
Republican Party is in disarray.
It truly is. Is it not? When the best and the brightest are running for the doors, making an early exit. I mean, maybe. Mike just wants to get in line for, Packer season tickets? It's going to be a long wait, sir. Come back with us. It won't be a long wait. It'll be quick. You can be a part. Friday, we air the grievances. Gallagher's out. And I got to tell you, Trump caught a Hail Mary pass from the Truthy Social. He might get rich, bitch. We'll talk about it. Come back.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us anytime. Airing of the grievances on Friday. That's how we roll. 844-967-2789.
Dom, I got to tell you, Donald Trump, I heard the news started popping on my phone this morning. Donald Trump had caught a lifeline. He phoned a friend. Apparently his, Trump Media Group is now been voted through to merge with some SPAC, which is like a dark money way of investing in a IPO startup without actually going through the full-fledged SEC filings. And I'm not going to pretend to be some sort of an expert on the SPAC, but Dom, you and I discussed the underlying fundamentals, the financials of this newly minted corporation. And apparently it's going on the NASDAQ effective Monday as DJT. That will be the stock ticker name for this new corporation, Donald J. Trump, DJT. And do you know why DJT is available, Dom?
Why?
Because that was used prior for the Trump Taj Mahal. That was his ticker sign, DJT, prior. But after it became a penny stock, got delisted, and eventually went bankrupt, apparently the DJT became available again for the stock exchange.
All right.
Now, a more superstitious businessman might not use the same stock ticker number as his greatest financial defeat, one might say, until now. But Dom, this corporation, And I know you've got your business degree, your master's in business administration. You know, a guy like you can look at the underlying financials of this SPAC merger with the Trump media and wonder who in the hell would invest in this, right?
I mean, it's a fair question, but you know, honestly, the tech startups and the social medias, I mean, sometimes they don't cash out immediately, Curdy. I think Facebook lost some money for a while. You know how that happens, you know? I mean, so maybe he's just, you know, he's riding that same bubble, but the financials do not look good.
They do not. Dom, let's talk about the financials for just a minute. We understand that this Truthy Social in its first, 5 or 6 months in business has generated $3.4 million in revenue and had $49 million in expenses. So that's
media. They lost $49 million. And when they say you lost $49 million, I assume that includes the $3.4 million you netted.
So you think they had a $52-plus million yeah. loss in their first
that's
5 months of business.
That's the way I read it.
On $3 million of revenue. So they're losing, $20 for every dollar in the door? I mean, that's not a great ratio.
You can't make that up on volume, Crudy. That's not how it works.
I mean, I've been in talk radio for a while. I know some about not making money in an industry.
Right.
But I got to tell you, the outlook better in talk radio than in investment in the Truthy Socials. And so my understanding is Trump owns 60% of the mothership. So based on the early valuation, what they put this stock out there at, and I believe it was $45 a share, that's where it started today. And then it dropped 12% immediately, precipitously dropped on the markets. And then had a little rebound. It's now just off 3.5% on the day.
Oh, you only lost 3.5% in one day. All right.
Before it's ever been listed on the NASDAQ, Dom, before it's being freely traded by the Trumpsters, you know, they're going to want to get their stock in there. But here's the interesting part. Who would want to invest in this stock? You know, I mean, from an investor's point of view, it's one thing to say, well, this company's worth $5 billion, and therefore, Donald Trump's got a windfall of $3 billion. But, Dom, as you and I have talked about, not on the air, but we'll do it now, he can't sell his stock for 6 months. So it doesn't really, really matter what the value of the stock is today. But my understanding is the board of directors that includes fine representatives Don Jr.
Linda McMahon, Cash Patel.
Yeah, that's Cash. That's the guy that worked for Devin Nunes and eventually worked for Trump and certainly would have been willing to overturn the outcome of that last election for him.
I mean,
and doesn't Devin Nunes, isn't he the CEO of the Truthy Social?
I think you're right. I think you might be.
So, you know, there's that little sidelight, but.
Wasn't Devin Nunes also mentioned in sworn testimony by
Lev Parnas? Yes. He was the CEO of Truthy Social, was pointed out to be a willing recipient of Russian disinformation by Lev Parnas in sworn congressional testimony. Oh, yeah. Yes. Him and who was it? Who was that guy from Wisconsin, Dom? I keep forgetting.
Senator guy. What's his name? Oh, Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
But anyway, also got called out.
Oh, and Pete Sessions. Don't forget Pete.
can't forget Pete. The board of this corporation could change the rules.
They could change the rules. But I do understand he is limited in selling his stock 1% per month. I mean,
1% per quarter.
Now, let's say they change all the rules. Let's say they let the old man sell as much stock as he wants to. Why would he not want to do that, Dom? Because, of course, he's got a little bit of cash crunch. He has this bond due on Monday, $454 million.
No biggie. He's got he just truthied out today. He's got $500 million in cash, Crudy. No problem. He was going to spend most of that on his reelection. But now, you know, with lawfare and all the frauding and criming, he may have to use it or not.
Well, I think from the news cycle's point of view, this is dodging a bullet for the old man, because this news probably frees him up to borrow. I would think that if he didn't have the $500 million cash, he found a source of the half a billion when he basically got the go-ahead on this deal, because he could have a tremendous windfall, Dom. But my prediction would be this, and I hope that CJ is listening. CJ, please, please go buy the DJT. Yeah. Blue Star loves DJT. I just watched Wall Street the other night. Gecko. Greed is good, CJ. Greed is good. This is the new cryptocurrency. If you believe in it, it has value. But if you fail to believe enough, then it's going to plunge in value. So it all depends on you. If you believe enough investors in the DJT SPAC, it will continue to rise in value. But if you don't believe enough,
or if Trump cashes it all out, then you're all going to lose your ass.
I'd take that chance, wouldn't you, Dom?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're a mega out there and you want to support your guy, absolutely buy as much of this stock as you can. I mean, hell, it's got a valuation of $6 billion on $3.4 million in revenue and a $49 million loss.
Dom, I was thinking about leveraging up, buying some DJT on margin, maybe getting a third mortgage on the house, 125%.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
The retirement fund, the kids' college savings, the Christmas money.
The money under the mattress, just do it all.
CJ, Blue Star loves DJT. Buy it. Buy it. Do it. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Buy as much as you can afford. Buy till it hurts.
All right, but now we have an opportunity for foreigners, foreign influencers, not just to buy, you know, rooms at the hotel. They can literally buy Donald Trump's stock.
DJT. How could it not be a winner? See, Trump vodka, Trump steak, Trump hotels.
Presidency.
The Taj Mahal. 6 prior bankruptcies. No, he'll do well. I feel confident. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Nearly the weekend, Dom. We made it. Can't wait to get off to a bar and watch the Badgers take on James Madison. Tip off about 8:40 this evening. Wearing the red. Rich is wearing the red. Where's your red?
I did watch some of the Marquette. Well done, Marquette, today after a scary first half. They pulled it out. And I'll be at dinner, I think, during that one, Curtis, so I won't probably be watching. But I'll be rooting for them.
No, you won't.
Sure, I will.
Sufficiently a homer. You should be a homer like me.
No, dude. You're homer enough for both of us. Trust me, homer.
Dominic, remember when Trump's lawyer said he didn't have enough cash to make the bond due on Monday? And, you know, there was this shiny new news about the merger, the Trump Media merger. And, you know, if the stock price just holds for 6 months or more, you know, Trump could have a bailout on the future. And I actually think, as far as news cycles go, today was a good day for Trump because he seems like a winner. See, I made this big deal. I'm going to get rich. I'm so rich. Well, until, you know, the stock price has to stand of its own volition. And, of course, it will continue to plummet when it hits the open markets. On Monday, it's already off 4%, and it hasn't hit the open markets yet. So, anyways, it'll drop, I suspect. But, Dom, I feel like it was a lifeline. You know, perceptually, this could be a lot of money. And, you know, the guy owes half a billion.
Perceptually or practically? I mean, it's one thing to say perception. Yeah, the perceiving is, hey, you know, Digital World Acquisition Corporation merged with Trump Media. And it's $44.20. It could be worth $6 billion. I mean, that's the story, right? And the perception could be, yes, the perception. Well, Donald Trump's a great businessman. But again, they only grossed revenue $3.4 million and lost
$49 million.
You know, come on. That's not it. This the underlying fundamentals of this organization. Because what it's a knockoff Twitter, right? So it's ad revenue. Is that what are we talking about here? But now it doesn't really matter, because now if you're available to you if it's publicly traded. Well, can anybody buy publicly traded stock? Sure you can.
It's a new way to
give them another to launder the money, man.
A new way to support the Cheeto Messiah until Trump cashes out and everyone's stock is worthless. CJ, I'd go all in. I'd go all in on this one. I really encourage you to stand by your man. So Trump is...
Although we do not give financial advice on the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Well, to CJ. For CJ, I'd go all in. I'd bet it all on orange. So anyways, perceptually, my first thought was, son of a bitch, this guy got away with it again. Because my perception is this will free him up. He'll be able to point at this future revenue. Sure, it's not going to be $3 billion, but it's probably going to add up to something when he can finally start cashing out the stock. You know, it's like a structured settlement, Dom. It's got some value, and you can cash it out for less than that value. Let's say now, because I need money now. It is my belief that Trump will have the money on Monday. He will make the bond because he was out there making the claim today. And why do you make the claim today? I got the $500 million. I got the $500 million. If you don't have the money, I mean, sure, months ago in a deposition when you're talking grand and you didn't know you'd ever have to back it up. But now that you got to back it up, you say I got the money on Friday when your lawyer said earlier this week, no, he doesn't. Yes, I do. Well, then you better show up with the money on Monday. He better. When I say I love you, you say you better. You better.
Trump special monitor appointed by Judge Engoron got expanded powers yesterday. And I'm assuming she'll be able to look at any of these things. Regardless of the transactions, she can get into the weeds on anything. She can recommend, she can mandate policies be followed, and any sort of personal guarantees or contracts or deals she can get at least shine some light on, and the state will know what the status is. I'm not clear that Trump has the money. So maybe Trump has money and his lawyers were lying. You know, because here's the thing. If Trump all of a sudden shows up, I mean, they put forth this court filing. We went to 30 places and we couldn't get any money. Oh, I got the money. Well, if you have, you know, 95% of the money that you need to borrow in cash, you'd have got your bond. So if he does show up with the cash, something's not right.
Maybe he knew this deal was effectively going to close, move forward on Friday. And he was able to secure a lien cash, you know, future monies to be earned against this Trump truthy social windfall, Dom. I think maybe circumstances changed. Let's give the man the benefit of the doubt. Okay,
to take that to the end then. So the same corporations, the 30 sureties that would not take a building and real estate as collateral are gonna take Truthy Social as collateral? Oh, that's interesting. What are your underlying financials? Oh, we made $3 million. We grossed $3 million of revenue. Great. What was your bottom line? Oh, we lost $49 million. You know, I mean, what? I don't know, man. Maybe I'm not connecting the dots somewhere, but it doesn't seem like a great deal. If you're going to loan money on something, Crudy, wouldn't you do it on a building versus a speculative stock that lost money? I mean, come on.
Dominic, the Washington Post is reporting former President Donald Trump claimed today that he had almost $500 million in cash, undercutting his lawyer's previous statements that he would not be able to pay a bond of more than $450 million to secure a massive judgment in the New York civil fraud case. Now, if he's got the cash, why would he tell the truth? He's been trying every angle to get the court to, you know, bend something. $100 million, I'll give you $100 million. Right?
Because Trump, everything's a negotiation.
Well, here's what he said. I currently have almost $500 million in cash, a substantial amount of which I intended to use in my campaign for president, Trump said Friday in a Truthy Social post in all caps.
He
then claimed New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron was aware of his cash on hand and set the bond in that range on purpose. He's trying to draw all the blood out of him. Trump's suggestion sharply contrasts with what his lawyers told the New York appellate court this week, that it would be a practical impossibility for Trump to post a bond covering the full amount. His lawyers cited rejections from 30 bond underwriters at their request for stay of enforcement of the judgment. In New York, Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the lawsuit against Trump, can begin enforcing the judgment March 25th, barring financial or court developments that could entail seizing his bank accounts, real estate, and other assets. Financial experts have said that filing for bankruptcy could alleviate Trump's financial jam, but he is not considering the approach, according to the Washington Post earlier this week. And Engeron ordered Trump to pay the penalty February 23rd after he ruled that the former president and his company used false financial statements to deceive banks and insurance companies. Dom, the ruling in the case came to $363,894,816 with the inclusion of $9 million in penalties against Trump's two adult sons and another company executive. Adding pre-judgment interest brought the total of all defendants to more than $464 million, and a post-judgment interest has accrued in more than $100,000 a day.
Does that include convenience fees?
In a text message, Trump lawyer Christopher Kai suggested that Trump was talking about his wealth from his businesses. What he's talking about is the money reported on his campaign disclosure forms that he's built up through the years of owning and managing successful businesses around the world. That is the very cash that Letitia James and the Democrats are targeting.
To the article. So Trump was talking about his wealth from his businesses. The wealth, not cash on hand? What are we talking about here?
Well, I don't understand if he's talking about his campaign money, like he's using that as his personal slush fund, apparently, as well, right, Dom?
Again, what he's talking about is the money reported on his campaign disclosures form. They built up through the years of owning and managing successful businesses. That is the very cash that Tish James and the Democrats are targeting. So, I mean, did he have it or did not have it? I'm not sure what they're trying to clean up here. His attorney, Chris Keyes, but he's not doing a great job. Does Donald Trump have the money or not? Because his attorneys filed with the court saying, no, we don't have it. We can't get it.
Well, Dominic Gregory Germain, a law professor at Syracuse, said the post undermines Trump's credibility and the credibility of his witnesses who testified that he doesn't have the money.
Thank you.
Here's a quote, Dom, from Germain, the law professor. It definitely hurts him to say, I've got the cash. I just don't want to put it up. It's very difficult to understand why he would do something like that.
I know.
Dom, Trump's claim also comes as the former president faces a significant cash disadvantage in his presidential campaign compared to President Biden. On Wednesday night, as the Federal Elections Commission filings were due, Biden's campaign reported $71 million cash on hand for the principal campaign committee, compared to Trump's $33.5 million at the end of February. Save America PAC, that's Trump's, the political action committee that the Trump campaign has been using to pay legal bills for the former president and many of his associates, spent more than it raised in February, Dom. They're very much like the Truthy Social.
You're right.
Dom, according to the filings, the Save America PAC reported $4 million cash on hand at the end of February. It spent $7 million over the same period, including $5.6 million in lawyers' fees. Trump has not contributed any of his own money to the campaign.
His tune has certainly changed on that. Adam Levitin, a professor at Georgetown Law who specializes in bankruptcy, something Trump knows something about, said in an email that Trump might have cash on hand, but if he has to commit it to posting the appellate bond, it won't be available for use in his businesses, which require a certain amount of cash for normal operations. The real question is whether he'll post a bond in the end, and that hasn't happened yet. As mentioned, though, according to the Washington Post and our earlier discussions, Trump could see a potential cash windfall after shareholders voted Friday to take his media company public. That move could grant Trump a stake worth billions of dollars that he could use to pay for his legal bills. Trump will own about 60% of the company, which at Digital World's current share price is worth about $3.3 billion.
Before it opens on the NASDAQ on Monday, and then it'll be worth $3 billion, and then $2.8 billion, and then $2.5 billion, and then you know, like $9 by the end.
Are we missing something? No, I mean, $3.4 million
billion
in revenue.
Oh, yeah. Million in revenue.
$1 million in revenue and a $49 million loss. Are there other things? I mean, are there other assets? How are you getting to a value of $3.3 billion? I mean, I get the math, but why is this
company worth $6 million? Gross revenue? That would literally be like 1,000 times gross revenue, would it not? A billion is 1,000 million. So 3 billion would be 1,003 millions, which is approximately right. The gross revenue. So Trump's stake is worth 1,000 times their entire cash revenue to date. And of course, that doesn't factor into the fact they've lost 49 million on top of the 3.2 they earned, right? Earned.
So, I'm not seeing any other reporting of any other thing that this company has done or has access to or has as assets or stuff. I mean, I don't. So I don't know. I think there's got to be a blind spot here, Crudy, because there's absolutely, obviously no way that you can make that up in volume that people are going to give and buy that stock.
What do you know about business, Jerry? It's a write-off. They'll take a paper carryover loss for years and years. That's why Trump doesn't have to pay taxes. Only the suckers pay taxes because, you know, he's going to have that and big loss to claim on his taxes.
And those that lose tons of money and can carry it forward for a long time.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Time for you to do that hand job. Start dialing the phones. 844-967-2789. We air the grievances. I say Trump's going to post the bond on Monday. I think he's got the money. But only because he got that lifeline from the Truthy Social. And that will let him down eventually. But not you, CJ. You invest the house.
Taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. We'll get to you momentarily. Crudy, if you think Donald Trump is going to post the $500 million bond on Monday, I just want to be clear on where you think he's getting that money from. You think that because of this new
no
deal,
idea where merge, this money okay. is sourcing. Okay. I All just right. think he's got the money. He's got access to $500 million in cash. I think right now, or he wouldn't be out there contradicting his lawyers. I think he's been taking a negotiating ploy. If he really needed the protection, why wouldn't he use the bankruptcy courts?
Because he's running for president and, you know, the megas don't like, well, I guess they do like, cause they voted for him in the first place.
Well, that but would
generally
just
you would think if you're running for president and you file bankruptcy, you're going to lose some folks who think that perhaps you can't control and, you know, run a successful business, which he claims to do. Cause this is his whole image, that he'd lose some voters.
You know, I bet you the MAGA Republican base, they're loving the news cycle. They think Trump's just put one over on the world. Today, got $3 billion coming in. They don't understand the fact he can't sell off the stock or the fact that, you know, the stock price is soon to plummet. It'll be a penny stock soon, like the last time DJT was a stock indicator. Trump Taj Mahal, he bankrupted himself. He cannibalized his own casino by putting three more casinos on the same strip. He owned all the casinos.
But I know, but here's the thing,
man. He competed with himself for his own business.
You're assuming that he's trying to do legitimate business. What if he's like a total crook gangster style and you set it up to fail? You got a money laundering machine. You got a way to funnel and to launder money for some bad, bad people and take a piece. And then you strike a match and burn it down at the end anyway. So what? I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yes, that'd be terrible. But I don't know, and I don't, knowing Donald Trump, as I assume I do, I don't believe the guy tried to do good business with the casinos. I think he tried to use the casinos to further enrich himself. I'm not clear he was trying to do anything other than, you know, work with the mob and launder money, perhaps. If I was him, that's how I'd do it.
What do you know about bankrupting a casino? 844-967-2789. I did read the book Trump Revealed. Apparently, one of the money laundering schemes was Fred Trump took like $6 million into the Trump Taj Mahal, cashed out, put the money on the table, bought $6 million in chips, and walked out the door. Never cashed them in.
Yeah, good work if you can get it.
844-967-2789. John from the Twitterverse. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
Hey, John.
I got a grievance for you guys.
All right.
Oh, we're talking about revenue. What about the state's revenue with missing out on all this cannabis money?
Even according to Scott Walker's very conservative math, $135 million a year, the state of Wisconsin would benefit. I think it's closer to $250 million, John. And that's just down.
I'm sure it would be.
So, John, you think we're leaving money on the table by not legalizing marijuana? And
yes,
you think
I do.
These Republicans give a damn about your opinion on this topic, sir? Because they've wasted nearly that much money just on private legal counsel in the time since Scott Walker and Robin Voss have been in leadership.
Just a waste of taxpayers' money chasing down something that eventually is going to fail anyway. I mean, eventually we're going to, this whole state's going to turn blue, and all this wasted revenue that we could have had is just going to other states around us.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
It is, John. One quarter, one half an ounce at a time.
One gummy at a time. Thanks for the call, John. It is so stupid. And I was actually recently talking about this. And of course, one of the other things is if you don't have the ability to, you know, to frisk people for small like weed, then how are you going to, you know, justify the unjustifiable stops?
Probable cause. Dom, Governor Tony Evers was a guest on the Empowered Caregiver Show, a pre-record. It's going to play out tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock across the Civic Media Network. And I can tell you, I got a little sneak preview. I had Liza Hellenbrand, the host of the Empowered Caregiver, on. And there is a lot of optimism about the legislative maps. You want legalized marijuana? You better hope these maps work. You better hope that we get fair representation, one man, one vote, and that the will of Wisconsinites is done in the legislature here. Now, in probability, because of the math, we cannot win a Senate majority. Not all of the senators are on the clock this fall. Only half, per the ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Even the liberals said you can't accelerate the time frame and make these people rerun. So we're not going to win the Senate. I don't care how good the Democratic candidates. I think we can win, you know, 13, 14, 15 seats. I think we can make it a hell of a lot more competitive than what we have right now. But the Assembly? Oh, the Assembly, Dom. If the Democratic Party can run out some credible candidates, if some reasonable human beings with a brain and a head on their shoulders go out there and just, you know, campaign and tell their story and just say, hey, I'm going to restore your reproductive rights. And if you elect me, I'm not going to burn it down. And, oh, yeah, you might get Medicaid expansion. You might get legalized marijuana. You might get more resources put towards the public schools and the University of Wisconsin system. Maybe if we had different leadership in the state, we wouldn't be trying to give back every surplus as a tax cut at the expense of community colleges, the two-year schools, because we're closing those en masse. You know, the kids today, if you don't have the money for a four-year school, you're scroogied because they're closing all the community colleges. But these are the priorities of the respective parties.
Right.
And if there were some Democratic representation, I cannot believe we would not make the priority investing in the educational system, both the, you know, the high school, the primary school, but also the secondary education, the college education. You know, most kids start at a tech school, at a two-year college close to home. Many then transfer to a four-year school, go on to successful careers. And what do they become? Oh, yeah, taxpayers. They pay money to stay in this state and actually do good things, raise families. All those things these Republicans claim they want, they work against. Oh, I forget. You know, Wisconsin's just here to train factory workers for manufacturing interests that don't pay any state income taxes. Oh, no. 0.4%. I forget.
Yes, yes, yes.
Very, and then very Brian important. Schimming went out there inaccurately this week and blamed the loss on manufacturing jobs on Tony Evers and then screwed the pooch. Couldn't even get the math right. What about the last guy? Mr. I'll create 250,000 jobs someday. More Devil's Advocates, a happier happy hour is next.